You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.
That's right, everybody, and welcome to my couch, as you always are here, Wednesdays, and we're on the Pacific Coast, so we're 11 in the morning, and we're all over the world broadcasting live right now. So today, a special guest. We're going to bring her on in just a bit. I'm going to be talking, and she's going to tell us about her expertise in a wonderful subject, understanding more about exploring the complex emotions of family relationships and how specifically to help children with depression, anxiety, those emotions, some grief, and really how to get them through these things, and also how grandparents particularly can positively affect their grandchildren, and how their parents can also benefit from this special intergenerational bond. So let's bring her on right now, Dr. Dale Atkins, on the couch. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me. I'm delighted to be with you on your couch and look forward to our conversation.
Oh, well, it's my pleasure. And gosh, I loved your interview you recently did, the last one you did on the Today Show on NBC. Really wonderful information for the nation and everybody else around the world. So I really appreciate how you really gave a lot of help to viewers, you know, on that show. So it's my pleasure to have you.
Thank you. It was a lot of fun. And we covered a fair amount of territory in a few minutes.
You know, you did. Those hosts are amazing, aren't they? They really can. Let me go ahead and do a brief bio on you. I mean, as I've said, you know, we could take probably half an hour to talk about what you've done, but I'll try to be as brief as I can. But I really want viewers and listeners to know more about you and your work. Of course, you're a licensed psychologist. You're an educator, a storyteller, public speaker with more than 40 years of experience as a relationship expert, focusing on families, wellness, managing stress, and living just basically a more balanced and meaningful life. And she's the author of 8 books, articles, journals, professional. Dale is a featured speaker who lectures and leads seminars worldwide. And of course, I was just saying that she's appeared regularly on NBC's Today Show, many multimedia outlets. Also, you might have seen her on CNN. And she has a private psychology practice, actually, in New York. And if you'd like to find out more about her, you can check her out. Dr. Dale Atkins, and that's Dr. Dale, D-A-L-E, Atkins, A-T-K-I-N-S.com. And we're talking about your latest book today, Dale, which I loved. It was really, I mean, it's not just for kids. It's called The Turquoise Butterfly, everybody. And if you could just kind of tell us a little bit more about that book and what it focuses on and how it can help people.
I'd love to. And I'm so glad you enjoyed it. It is a book that's written for young children. And in my mind's eye, I was visualizing grandparents reading it to their young children. And I still have that in my mind.
That's good.
And I love that. But I'm getting so many letters and emails from people who are of all ages, particularly teenagers. And I'm so touched by that. And I think the reason that it's affecting people from different ages is because it's a simple story. The story is inspired by my late mother, whose name was Sylvia, and the main character is Grandma Sylvia. And she has a little granddaughter who, in the book, her name is Victoria. And they have a very special 1 week a month, 1 week a year together. And they call it the Girls of Summer. Okay. And what they do is they have adventures. And one of the things that's really important for me about the book is to talk about the importance of an intergenerational, or as people are calling it now, Michelle, inter-age relationships.
Yep.
So that we have support and learning and patience and perspective from people from different generations. And in this case, we have a little girl who sometimes feels very anxious and sometimes feels very hesitant and sometimes feels quite afraid of starting and doing new things. Yet she's curious and she's loving, and she's just sometimes gets in her own way. And she has a grandmother who is larger than life, adventurous, and so bold and so brave. And so these two beautiful souls who love each other tenderly have these experiences. So we talk about anxiety. We talk about how to get through things that are challenging, how to deal with fear. We talk about change and the transformation of the butterfly. And we talk about the butterfly in your stomach, and we talk about the butterfly in the real world. And we talk about over time how roles can change. It's about caregiving. It's a simple book about a lot of things. And also it's about loss, as you mentioned. So at some point, the little girl loses her grandmother dies, but she is with her forever because they have this eternal bond, and it's about the eternality of love. So that's it in a nutshell.
That is beautiful. No, I mean, the book is really wonderful. Not, like I said, not only for kids and grandpas or mom and dad to read to their kids. You know, but it's really helpful. And there are a lot of, as a psychologist, complex, you know, issues that we're dealing with here. And we'll get into some of the tools, some of the things that you suggest that, you know, grandparents and therefore parents can learn, approaches that they can use to help kids, grandkids with these complex issues. So
yeah,
into that. So the turquoise butterfly, what is it? And you talked about the butterfly in the tummy and the beautiful butterfly outdoors. Can you explain a little bit more about why you titled the book that?
I titled the book The Turquoise Butterfly because my mother loved turquoise butterflies. Mm. And turquoise was her favorite color. Yeah. And she would always appear in some wonderful outfit. And she was not shy. And she was always wanting to be a bright and colorful person. She was also a very patient and very caring and very loving person. And so the model of this kind of larger than life person who really was so kind and so deep and so present was important to me. And because she loved butterflies, and there are always butterflies around. There were always butterflies around her. She loved the actual butterfly motif, but also, when she was alive, she would say, you know, you're always going to feel connected to me because you're always going to see a butterfly. And don't you know that in her life and since her passing, there are always butterflies. And when I think about her most recently, I just came back from a trip to Africa, and I was in a very, very difficult situation on a trail. I was going up to visit some animals, and it was really challenging. I was going across a stream, and there were lots of slippery rocks, and there was lots of mud. Not to go into it, except to say, on my way back over the same trail and slippery rocks, I said, oh, I had hoped we would come back a different way, but we didn't. And I said, oh my goodness, how am I going to get through this? And at that moment, a magnificent turquoise butterfly appeared and fluttered across where the water was. And I just said, okay, Mom. And I was with a friend, and she knew about the turquoise butterfly and how often I would see butterflies. And she said, well, I guess your mom's here. And I laughed, and I went over the place that was so treacherous in going, and it was a piece of cake coming back. That was the second time she appeared, the day before she appeared in this turquoise butterfly motif on another trail. So I find that using my own experience, but also helping children to deal with loss, particularly the loss of someone who was so close to them. Yes. And, you know, as you know, for most children, the first person they'll lose is a grandparent. And what I would like to have happen is for grandparents to feel very comfortable saying, you know, when I'm not here, or I love that we had this moment, I love listening to this song. You know, I think that when I'm not here, when you hear this song, I hope you'll remember this moment or think of me. Know that I'm always with you, because the relationship transforms just like the butterfly transforms. And because the person isn't any longer here, it doesn't mean that we can't still access all that they taught us, all that they showed us, everything they modeled for us, and that we keep it as part of our weave And if you see a butterfly that reminds you, wonderful. If you see a bird, if you hear a tune, whatever it is, yes. You then can connect and feel emboldened or brave or whatever you need at that moment, because you say, I can get through this. My grandpa got through a much harder time, and right. He's part of me and I'm part of him. And so this is really the message about the linking of death and a child dealing with the loss, yes. But also helping them through grief in yes. A way that they can relate to as a child.
That is beautifully put. I love it. And I really enjoyed the book, The Turquoise Butterfly, and I know everybody else will too. And it also really also for parents to understand and to help their kids understand, you know, grief or the passing of their parents, you know, so it's all interwoven. You know, what's interesting to me is neuroscientists say, well, children are in the theta brainwave until they're about maybe eight and a half, and then they move into the frontal lobe of consciousness, more discriminatory, you know, beta thought processes. But still, I mean, people say, well, by the time kids are entering into nine through adulthood, here they're a little more rational and all that. But I really still think that children, teens, young adults, I think they still all need that information about the heritage, the closeness, the bond, and also signs from the universe, you know, to
I couldn't agree more. I couldn't agree more. And I think that for many of us who weren't able to mourn when we were younger, right. Either because it was not okay in the family or culturally or just whatever the reason, I have had so many wonderful letters and emails from people who say, this helped me deal with the loss that I had when I was a child. And I think that to me is worth writing the book for, because as you say, once we get into rational thought, it doesn't mean that we don't still have the need to yes. Be able to relate in this very, very basic and essential human way yes. With the feelings that we have, with the emotions. And as far as what you talked about, as far as the neurobiology, yes. I think that, you know, I would also flip it, because the children are getting this enriching environment that, you know, oh. Grandparents are generally, they have more time. They're yes. Generally a bit more patient. They bring this other perspective, and children feel safe and they yes. Feel warm and they feel accepted in this environment with their grandparents or with the elders. Right. And they love the stories. The grandparents are the keepers of the memories, the keepers of the stories, yes. And they keep the line going, so that the child's identity is so much more enriched and yes. So much more grounded when yes. They know that they are part of a very long heritage.
Yes.
And when I said flip it for the, so that really is enriching for them in their, you know, in their brain development as well,
sure,
because
sure.
It lowers the stress. And they are able to be much more open because they are feeling more accepted. They don't have to feel as if they have to hide parts of themselves.
Yes.
For the adults,
yes.
they are really engaged with their brain activity, because yeah. Just by telling the story, you have to be able to sequence it. You've got to be able to remember it.
You've yeah, got to exactly. Yeah.
Your brain. And when you're doing things with young people, if you're building a model, if you're doing a recipe, if you're making Legos, you've got to really be on your game.
Yes, so, it's true.
We are also exercising our brains, so there's an emotional and mental and social benefit for just having these inter-age relationships.
Yes.
But to your point about the grief, I really believe that when we are allowed to process grief as an ongoing experience,
right.
And we talk about people who have died in ways that we remember their faults, we remember the wonderful things about them, and they become, again, part of the story, this ongoing story mm-hmm. of our family.
Mm-hmm.
We all need it, not just kids.
That's true. And no matter what your religion is, per se. I mean, right, this gets into all that. We talk about, you know, the universe giving us signs, or, yes, you know, Judaism, and there are, you know, it's people, of course, and our relatives and loved ones are always in the memory, and that's how they live on, etc. But there's so many different, you know, areas of understanding, you know, when people pass or, you know, transgress into the next frequency, or however, you know, they want to put it.
Exactly.
But the reality is, like you say, it's that compassion, memory, wonderful thoughts and feelings. And then it does stay with us, doesn't it? No matter what.
It does stay with us. And the more open we are, yes, and the more noticing that we do, and the, right, more attention that we pay, mm-hmm, we then make those links, and we can feel a sense of comfort, and we can feel a sense of connection. And it, yeah, doesn't have to be bold. It can be slight. It can be a whiff of a scent. It, yes, can be, as I've said before, music. It can be just something that, right, makes you feel the connection.
Sure.
And I think if adults can feel comfortable sharing what their experiences are, yes, children who are so magical in, yes, their innocence, they are often hush, don't say that, don't do
that's
that.
Right.
If we can open the world for them so that they can also have that spiritual connection,
yes,
there isn't a religion or a culture that I know of that doesn't have some kind of ritual to invite and to experience ancestors,
yes,
and to remember ancestors. And some do it very formally,
yes,
and some do it informally. When children are witnessing what the adults do in order, yes, to remember, whether, mm, it's prayer, whether it's visiting a gravesite, whether it's using incense, whatever it is, they know that there is a way to connect with a relationship that isn't the way it was because the person isn't here, but that the spirit is still available.
Yes.
And I think that's an important message to get across.
Beautifully said. I mean, I couldn't agree with you more. By the way, in case you just joined us, folks, I'm talking with the renowned and infamous Dr. Dale Atkins. She's the author of so many wonderful books dealing with relationships and personal issues. And today we're talking about her latest book. It's called The Turquoise Butterfly. And it's a children's book, but actually, I think it's great for parents and also mostly important grandparents, maybe to read to their grandchildren, because it is about understanding relationships and the rich, you know, intergenerational relationships between grandparents, and also Dr. Atkins, Dale, whoever may be the older caregiver, you know, sometimes, yeah, our,
yes,
grandparents, you know, they have passed away and, you know, our kids really don't have that connection, but there are always aunties and uncles and older, you know, generational relatives who can pass along this book as well. So
exactly. And they can pass along the stories. You know, it's the aunts and the uncles and the elders in the family, or,
yes,
outside of the family, really good friends who also have experiences, and they can,
yes,
tell the children stories that their parents not even know,
yes,
or they,
yes,
can tell stories about their parents that the children might like to learn. And,
yes,
these are such rich and engaging,
yes,
relationships because they offer something different to,
mm-hmm,
the child.
Yes.
From anybody,
yes,
else.
Yeah. You know, your book really stirred something within me as well, personally. I was,
yes,
lucky enough that my parents were not pushing anything necessarily on me. And we could talk about that.
Yes.
But I know my grandmother was quite elderly. She was wonderful, so sweet and loving and kind. And I started thinking about her cookies. And,
uh-huh,
smelling her cookies when I was reading your book.
I love that. Thank you for telling me that.
But I remember when we were at her memorial, we were watching, you know, what was going on and listening to the rabbi, and then we passed by, and my mom said, "You don't have to see her if you don't want to. You don't have,
uh-huh,
to." But she looked. I wanted to.
Yes.
She looked beautiful and,
mm-hmm,
peaceful. And,
mm-hmm,
it was so funny because I remember in my head, and this is what stirred within me when I was reading your book, I said to myself, she's going to a beautiful place because she was such a loving, kind, wonderful person.
Oh, what a lovely thought.
I just felt that, but it did. I just wanted you to know that your story also, I think, will invoke feelings within people about their grandparents or their special relatives who've passed as well. And
I hope it does bring a memory of something good. None of us is perfect, and none of us has perfect relationships with the people who were in our lives. But I think if we can access a memory that we'd like to remember, and we can kind of nurture that, and we can look at the person in their wholeness and say, what did I learn from them? What did they teach me? What have I yet to learn? How can I live my life as legacy from them? You know, what values did I get from them?
Right.
And I think that that would be a lovely thing to remember and to be able to act on in our own lives.
Yes, exactly. That's beautiful because, you know, I as you mentioned, I do know in our practice, there are many complex relationships. Sometimes grandma and grandpa are a little grumpy and they're not, they may not be too healthy, or they may have some issues going on, and we're not that comfortable with who they are. But somehow, you know, we learn to have compassion as well for perhaps some of their stuff. And the book also shares, you know, a lot of stuff about compassion and feeling and understanding and having patience as well for the little slower grandparents.
Yes. You know, in the second year, the little girl is leading the grandmother, and the grandmother appears with a cane for the first time.
Yes.
And so we see how she has become a bit more empathic, and she is a bit more caring. Yes. But the research, as you know, also shows that children who have a regular interaction with an older person who's meaningful to them actually develops more empathy and more compassion and patience. Not only for the person, but also for other people. So other people they don't even know. They're more likely to hold the door open for someone. They're more likely to talk slower or to talk louder if they need to. Mm-hmm. And they adapt because they have already been sensitized.
Yes.
And they've been sensitized in a way that they are still in an enriching relationship, even if they are at the point where they're doing more of the enriching. But they are still benefiting from the memory of the relationship and from the energy of the relationship of what they had, so that, you know, it's less likely for those young people to be short-tempered or to be impatient. Yes. And that is really, I think, quite remarkable.
Oh, beautifully
said. Kindness can still prevail.
Right. And also, besides compassion, as you point out in your book, the turquoise butterfly, that, you know, children can learn. How can grandparents also help the kids with trust?
Oh, what a great question. Yeah. They can help the children develop trust by being present and by accepting who they are, that they're good enough just the way they are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And by being curious about them rather than critical of them. You know, you're doing something I don't really understand, but explain to me, because we didn't do it that way when I was young, but I want to know what it is that you are finding attractive about that, or why does that music speak to you? I really want to learn. I think the trusting also is by being there when they need us. And even if we can't be there physically, to follow up on things, when they say something to you, listen carefully.
Yes.
A good listener is someone who often will develop trust with someone because the person who's speaking or who is in your presence feels that you are caring about them, about who they are. So that if someone says, you know, like I'm so nervous about my test and my math test and maybe a day after you call and say, I was thinking about you. How did you feel about that test?
Yes.
So that they matter to you. And don't wait for the call. Don't be a grandparent and say, oh, they never call me.
Right.
You know what? They may never call you. However, you can sit there and be unhappy about the fact that they never call you. Or you can do what a lot of people don't do anymore, which is what I call, you know, get yourself a Hallmark moment and stop and find a really nice card and send a letter through the mail with a stamp.
Yes.
And just say that you're thinking about them, or write a note or text, or just say, I have something I want to tell you. It has to be authentic. I have something I want to tell you. Can you call me tonight between 6 and 8, right? And, or can I call you between 6 and 8? And then share something. The trust comes from the reliability, the dependability,
yes. Yes.
and the willingness to be there no matter what.
Right.
It takes time. It takes practice. And it also takes not having favorites. It also takes not comparing your grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your sister does that so well. Why can't you do that better?
Oh, boy.
This is really tough because grandparents have an opportunity to have a very special and unique relationship with their grandchildren. And I also like when I talk about trust, and it depends on the individual, but
sure.
generally, specifically most young children, they do love a hug. They do love an arm
sure.
around them.
Sure.
They love to be cozy. And also, they also at some points in their life don't want to hug. And the last person they want to see hugging is their parent or their grandparent. So you have to honor that as well.
Right, right, right.
But, you know, in privacy, you can say, can I get a hug? Yes, you can get a hug, Grandma.
Sure.
You know, it may not be in front of all the friends, but of course you can get a hug. You have to honor that. You have to honor yeah. that. And that's where the trust comes from.
Mm-hmm. And beautiful. And in terms of, you know, honoring, we're going to get into the do's and don'ts of what grandparents probably should or should not do. but I wanted to ask you a question in your work as well. It's not necessarily mentioned in the book, but it's about something that I have a hard time with. Being on the same page all the time with the parents. I mean, there's a lot of spoiling going on here. I mean, it's a slight little, okay, we're going to tell mom and dad that nanny's giving you that big chocolate chip cookie now since you've had your dinner. You know, see how that flies, you know.
Right.
And well, no, just don't tell them. We'll yeah. tell them later.
I think that depending on the age and depending on what's going on, it's really important to respect the way the parents are raising their children.
Yes.
And I think what's also important is if there's a two-parent family, one of those parents is going to be an in-law. And it's That's really right. important that for me that you try to understand that, first of all, this person came from probably a different background. They were sure. raised differently than the way you raised your child.
Right.
And yet they are going to be parenting your grandchild.
Right.
So I think it behooves all of us
Yes.
to try and figure out what their angle is, what is their propensity, what is their world before we come in and put our world and superimpose it on them.
Yeah.
Either by raising an eyebrow or raising our voice or folding our arms or all the body language that we
yeah.
all know.
Yeah.
And it doesn't read open, loving, and accepting. So we want to be careful about that.
Yes.
As far as I think that, you know, I have a few grandchildren who have nut allergies. So
right.
we have to be really careful in our kitchen. And we are very careful in our kitchen.
Sure.
But I will tell you that every so often, and I hate admitting this, but every so often, I will have to think, oh, wait a minute, was that made with almond flour? Okay, I have to remember.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. And we're all human. So we yep. have to be careful and we have to be respectful and we have to be mindful. I think what's really important is to try and understand the parents' perspective, the parents' view, the parents' desire. And when the kids are with us, we can reference it. You say, you know, I know that your parents really wanted yes. you to be in bed by 8:30. Mm-hmm. However, you know, I think we can kind of push it a little bit. What do you think? Right? The kids are going to say, okay,
right.
I'm not saying push it to 11,
all
but
right.
we have a little wiggle room. All right. We're not going to do something that is going to blow the family up, but we can. And also about that chocolate chip cookie, what do you think? You think we should do it? What do you think? And there's kind of like a little collusion going on because there's some special rituals that kids have when they're with their grandparents. Now, if the kid's allergic to chocolate, it's not a good idea.
No.
But and if it's a huge cookie, that's probably not a good idea. And if they're not supposed to have food. But I think that sometimes you can say, you know, this is just, you're not undermining. It's just the treat. What I get problems, what I have problems with is when people come and intentionally do things to undermine the parent.
Right.
Because then the child is caught in the middle.
That's
and
right.
The child is held with a secret. Or the child is, and that's not, it's not fair to the parents, it's not fair to the child. And it's not building, as you said before, a trusting relationship.
Yes.
Because the child has to look at you as a grandparent, as a role model. So if you're a role model of someone who has the same values, the same moral code, the same compass that you're trying to follow, then they have to not be put in some kind of a dissonance when they are at their parents' house and they're at your house. There's always
room. Right.
But I think we have to be respectful of the child.
Yes.
And
yes.
We don't have to agree, but we have to be respectful.
Boy, is that true. In case any of you just joined us, my special guest is renowned psychologist, Dr. Dale Atkins, and we're talking about her latest book. It's called The Turquoise Butterfly, and it's kind of a children's book, actually, but it's amazing. It's to help children and families explore the complex emotions of anxiety, grief, sadness, and, you know, transform them into a more hopeful and accessible way. It teaches children a lot, and I would suggest you pick it up. Because, folks, it's a really good book, as I said, also for parents. You can find the book everywhere and anywhere you'd like. But if you'd like to really find out more about Dr. Dale Atkins, it's drdaleatkins.com. Check her out. And we're still talking about some of the do's and don'ts. And I know in your work, Dale, I'd like to get into a little bit. You know, and you just kind of mentioned, you know, we got to be on the same page as the parents because we want to be right alongside and we don't want to confuse the child and good grandma, bad mommy, daddy issues. So.
And also we want to have access to our grandchildren.
That's exactly
and
right.
You really don't want someone to say, I don't want my kid spending time with you because I don't like what you're doing, unless what you're doing is awful. And then you better, you know, come clean about what's happening. But I think what's important is that we have as open a dialogue as possible and you don't have to prove anything. And it's really important also to support your children and your children-in-law in being helpful. You know, how can I be helpful? Would it be helpful if I did this? Would it be helpful if I did that? To be specific, because especially with newborns and with parents of new children, you know, newborn children and very young children, because there's a lot of things that people are doing these days that were not done when you and I were raising our kids.
Right.
And you know, it has to do with eating, it has to do with sleep, it has to do with programming and scheduling and all of it. And it has to do with screen time and it has to do with technology.
Oh, yeah.
And very often we do not agree. And so the issue is it going to be totally black and white in one person's house and another house? Or
right.
are we going to try and see what works for both of us and how can we be respectful? And I think that's important. But you can't be respectful if you don't know. And if you don't know, you know, you're doing this and I don't know anything about that technique. Is there a book I should read to show that you want to be a partner and to show that you, you know, you talked about the trust between the child and the grandparent.
Right.
There has to be trust between the parent and their parent, the grandparent.
Right. Right.
Because otherwise you're not going to be able to have the opportunity to develop the relationship you want because you're going to be spied on all the time or you're not going to be able you would be a trusted care person. So there's pragmatics that we have to think about. But, you know, when you said the do's and the don'ts, I think so many of us want so much to share what we learned and what we know and kind of like grandparent wisdom. And it's interesting because I think that comes through with the stories. That comes through with being present. That comes through with taking the lead from the child. You know, it's like when you, when you're doing an art project, instead of telling them how to draw, just give them the paper and give them the pencils and see what they come up with, and then ask them what that is. The same thing with a recipe. If there's anything that you can do together to make something, see what the child does. See how they add the, you know, the cucumbers or whatever it is. And and so it doesn't have to be, everything doesn't have to be your way. Sure. Make it interchange. And I think the other thing is, be patient.
Yes.
When children are hesitant, when they may stammer, when they don't immediately come with a thought that they, that is fully formed, don't finish their sentences. Wait, and just give them a sense of space. Give them a chance to formulate their thoughts and then articulate them. And then no matter what, that's so interesting. Can you tell me more? And give permission to be able to relax, and give permission to be able to be a good listener. Model being a good listener, then they'll be good listeners. And, and so I think that's an important thing to do. And sometimes we don't do it. We don't do it because we want to teach. We want to fill them with all of these, all this information.
Oh boy, is that true.
And I kind of like the slow wisdom approach where, you know, we're doing something. I'll tell you something that happened recently. My granddaughter and I were walking, and she put her arm through my, I've told this story. She put her arm through my arm, and I was immediately covered with goosebumps.
Of course.
Tears. And she didn't understand. And she looked and said, "What?" Like that. Like, "What?" And I had to compose myself because I was so moved.
Sure.
My mother and I used to walk like that. Aww. Why? Because her mother and she used to walk like that. So when I walked like that with my mother, she would say to me, "Your grandmother, whom I did not know, and I used to walk like that." When my granddaughter put her arm through my arm, I had this image of four generations of women in my family walking arm in arm.
Oh my goodness.
And it was so, I get really moved when I tell you. Something like that is then the opportunity to say, "Your great grandmother and grandmother and I have all walked this way." Ugh. And that's a whole lot more powerful, and it was, than saying, "You know, my grandmother and I used to walk arm in arm." Well, what does that mean? It was so organic and so spontaneous. And, you know, like when we use a particular ball at a holiday, I used to say, "And this was grandma's bowl." And now they all say, "Yes, that was grandma's bowl. And this was the favorite, you know, this was the favorite recipe that we always have on the holidays." And it has become part of the ritual of coming together as a family. And I like when grandparents feel free to not only share stories, but share them through activities, looking through photo albums and remembering, I remember when we did that. And that's, you know, what was the one thing about that? But give the child a chance to look and say, "Oh my God, look at what you were wearing."
Or exactly.
You know? And, you know, if they see your hair a certain way, you know how I had to get my hair that way. I had to iron my hair, or I had a perm in it. That it gives the sense of the time.
Right. That's beautiful. It really does. It gives them a different perspective, and also lets them know who we are as kind of people sometimes. Oh, you were young and goofy, you know.
Right. you were a cheerleader, or you played the drums, or you did. "I never knew that." Well, how come you never knew that? Didn't your parents tell you? Instead of saying that, you can say, "There's lots that you don't know. And I can't wait to share all of these stories and all of these experiences while you are telling me your experiences," because it doesn't go one way, as you know, Michelle. It doesn't go one way.
Yes.
You know?
So true.
Who is kind to you in school today when the kids come home, right?
Exactly. Exactly. It's so true. It goes both ways. So we're talking about interest and sharing, show up as much as you can, even if it's virtually. Try to do that. Be in their lives, not annoying. So the parents go, "Oh gosh, grandma's on FaceTime again."
You know, right. Right.
Doing things together, so many activities, shared experiences, like you talk about, you know, watching a classic film together and talking.
Yes.
And having your grandchild and, you know, something that their parents may have not experienced, teach you something.
Absolutely.
I know how to do this, or I know how to, it's like, oh my goodness, I don't know how. Can you show me that? And I think a lot of it is kind of pulling back our ego. As you said, you didn't say ego, but you said our need to, we want to tell them everything and teach them everything. Right. We want to jump in there. And it's like, pull it back, be the observer and the, yes, the loving observer.
Yes, because you will have a chance.
Yes.
You will have a
yes,
chance.
Yes, exactly.
It may not be the door that you thought you were going to go through, but you will get a chance, and you have right. to be open to it. And I think it's really important to remember yeah. that, because so many of us think, right. oh, I don't have that much time, or right. I only have this much time, and right. I want to fill it. Well, you will fill
right.
it. Right. But it may
exactly.
be filled in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all yeah. about the connection.
Yes, exactly. Let's talk about some of the don'ts. The don'ts.
Okay.
Some of the don'ts that, you
some
know,
of the don'ts.
I'm
not
guilty
all about
of.
You. It's not all so about us.
You talk about don't assume that the kids have told, you know, your grandchildren everything. I mean, just as they were named after an older or late relative, you know, whatever. Did you know, you know, kind of don't assume.
Don't just, assume anything.
Yeah.
So, you know, did you know where your name came from? Yes, I was named after my uncle.
You're right.
Do you know anything about him? Can I tell you a story about your uncle? Can I tell you how you remind me of your uncle?
It's
so interesting. Do you know that your uncle was an artist and you are so artistic? Isn't that interesting? These kinds of connectors are so important.
Right.
And rather than, what do you mean you don't know anything about your uncle? Right. I can't believe no one told you about your uncle.
Right, exactly.
Again, try to ask yourself, is what I'm about to say or do going to be helpful, or right. is it going to be hurtful? Is it going to open a door, or is it going to close a door? And when I said it's not all about you, I'll share a story of something that was recently shared with me, and I think it tells it perfectly. There's a grandma who is very, very, very close to her relatively young grandchild, and the other grandma came for the birthday party, and the other grandma doesn't live nearby. And this grandma lives nearby and has a lot of access. And the one who was nearby and has a lot of access wanted to sit right next to the little girl at the birthday party.
Sure.
And the little girl wanted to sit next to her mommy and right. the other grandchild, the grandmother who's not here all the time.
Right.
Well, the grandmother who's, and of course she wanted to sit next to that one because sure. she's different and she doesn't know her very well. But the grandmother who's here all the time took it so personally and was offended
and moped
through the entire birthday celebration and right. put an enormous pressure by doing that on the mother
yes.
and who was trying to make a nice little birthday party. Okay. So when I say it's not about us, understand that you can be offended. Understand that you have every right to the feeling you have. Maybe you weren't invited on a family holiday. Maybe you thought you were going to be invited on a family holiday. Maybe
right.
you were told that this Thanksgiving is not going to be at your house when you were planning it. And you said, wait a minute, what? And you've had a conversation and nobody wants to come to your house this year. Okay. Yeah. Are you going to object? Are you going to boycott? Or are you going to suck it up and go and say, what can I bring? Now, it doesn't mean that you don't have the right, as I just said, to your feelings. You have every right to your feelings. And you have every right to express them in a way that is not going to make things worse. So deal with them on your own first. Talk to whomever you have to talk to.
Yes.
Beat the pillow. Do whatever you need to do.
Yeah.
But approach the children and grandchildren as an adult.
Absolutely.
Now, And I think that you can say, you know, I was really disappointed because I was looking forward to having it at our house. I've shifted and I'm looking forward to having it at your house. And I'm really looking forward to bringing my favorite recipe or whatever.
Right.
I think that trying to remain an adult when you feel as if you're a child inside because you're really hurt or you're disappointed is a challenging thing, but something we need to do. I think the other thing that is really an important thing not to do is to criticize the parents in front of the children.
Never.
Right. Yes, but many of us do it. Or we roll our eyes. We don't think we're criticizing because we're not saying it. Oh, my, really?
Yes.
It's important. You know, your mom and I feel differently about that. And I have a great example. My grandchildren, one set of grandchildren, love animals.
Yes.
But if I live to be 100, they're never going to get a dog. I fortunately have a dog. And they love my dog. And I feel that my dog is there, having my dog is having an opportunity for them to express their love of animals. Now, for whatever reason, my daughter-in-law doesn't like dogs. It's her right. It's her house. It's her everything. I would prefer that my grandchildren had a dog, but that's not my choice. So they have my dog.
Right.
Now, I think that what's important in that example is everybody knows that I wish they had their own dog, but I don't need to keep telling it right now. My dog, who thank God is 18 and probably knows that the role in his life is to be the dog to all of these children, is still a part of their life and is very much a part of our life without criticizing that they don't have a dog.
Exactly. Yeah. It's supporting.
We have these opportunities all the time. We just have to take them.
That's right. Exactly. No, that's beautifully said. And as you mentioned, you know, some of the don'ts, don't guilt them.
Don't guilt them.
The parents in front of them. Why haven't you called? I haven't talked to you in 2 weeks. No, don't do that.
Particularly don't do that if your grandchildren are in college. Because
oh my God, they'll never call you.
they don't have time. But what you can do is either send a note or send a text, or as I've started doing lately, I'm watching beautiful sunrises and sunsets. I just take a picture and send it to them and say, I'm thinking of you. Sometimes it gets a response. It's not manipulative. I am thinking of them. And I think when you finally get the call or you have a call, do not spend the first 5 minutes saying, I can't believe you haven't called me. Why didn't you return my messages?
Right.
You don't want to do that. Or if you do want to do it, it's better not to do it. To say, I am so glad to hear your voice. I have so much to catch up on. Let me tell you what I've been up to, and then I want to hear what you've been up to. Because it's also important to share that we have a life.
Yes.
You know, what are you reading? What am I reading? If you have young children, I suggest you read what they're reading. So you have something to talk about. Watch a movie together. But don't guilt them. And the other thing is, don't tell them that you don't like what they're wearing. And don't tell them that you don't like what they're doing with their hair. And I know, and it's really hard sometimes. Yeah. But if you want to have, if they ask your opinion, you can give your opinion kindly. Yes. But if they don't ask your opinion, you could say, oh, I noticed you changed your hair.
Yes. Okay?
And you don't have to say it looks terrible or I can't. Or why don't you comb your hair?
Yeah,
because that isn't going to help.
Yes.
Nurture
exactly.
A relationship that you probably want to have.
Exactly.
And it's not about being honest. Well, I'm so honest. I say everything. Well, that may work for you, but it may not work for a child who is developing, who may not feel so great about themselves at this moment, who's coming into their body, who maybe has acne. You don't need to tell them everything the way you feel.
No.
Engaging and you want to be nurturing and you want to be there for them as they go through whatever they're going through.
Right. Well,
in my opinion,
I think you are spot on. And I think that's unfortunately a good place to stop because there's so much more we could talk about. We could go another hour and really help our viewers and listeners a lot with their family and intergenerational information, you know, how they can be healthier, and especially in helping with the grandkids and being around them. But I guess we're going to have to get going here. But thank you so much, Dr. Dale Atkins, for joining me today on the couch. It's been wonderful.
Thank you, Dr. Michelle Cohen, for inviting me to you. I'm so happy to have had this opportunity to talk with you. And thank you very much.
Oh, you're so very welcome. And the book, again, is The Turquoise Butterfly, to help children explore the complex emotions of anxiety, grief, transformation into more hopeful and accessible and healthy relationships. You've got to pick it up. It's a great book. And it's Dr. Dr. Dale, D-A-L-E, Atkins.com. Have a wonderful week, Dr. Dale.
Thank you, and you too.
Thanks. Bye-bye for now. All right, everybody, take good care of yourselves first, and you'll be great for others. And that's what I always say here on the couch. This is Dr. Michelle, and have a beautiful week. And I'll be back next week to talk to you more about great relationships and how to help the people in your life. Bye-bye for now.
You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.